Blog Talk Radio.
There's nothing more powerful than our own grace and awareness. Welcome to my show, a show focused on mastering the inner conflict within our whole being. I'm Sheila Unique, a relationship coach, a master energetic intuitive. For over 20 years, I've been passionate about educating people like you on how to resolve everyday life problems in relationships of all kinds. We have relationships with anything and everything in our lives, and how we relate with every one of them makes all the difference. Today's relationship has to do with my unique approach related to the meanings we put to things. For us to master any conflict related to that, we need to understand some of the invisible influences impacting our lives when it comes to using words like mean and meaning. We walked into my mom's hospital room on Valentine's Day. My sister and her husband had bought mom some flowers, and the card said they loved her. When I saw them, I jokingly said, "We didn't buy you any flowers, mom. Does that mean we don't love you?" And she immediately said no, which in my heart I knew she'd say. I could tell by the tone in her voice she wasn't expecting to hear those words. Of course she'd never think that of us. I don't think I'm alone in doing things like that. We put meanings to things like that in our daily lives. According to the dictionary, the word meaning is defined like this: what is meant by a word, text, concept, or action, intended to communicate something that is not directly expressed. Knowing that, what are we doing when we put meanings to things? Well, consider this. Someone says or does something, and we think it has to mean something other than what it is in that moment. Maybe you'll recognize these examples. Would you like some veggies? No, thank you. So what? You don't eat vegetables anymore? Or someone stops by our home around mealtime and we invite them to stay for supper. They can't stay, and immediately out of our mouth comes a comment like, "What, you don't like my cooking?" Or here's another one. Someone we work with continually comes up with new creative ideas. And over time, we think that means they're better at their job and start thinking we're not as good as they are. Ever done that? Putting meanings to things literally causes struggle and conflict in relationships of all kinds, especially within ourselves. Why? Because on some level, it's difficult for us to accept things as they are. Let me give you this example. One Saturday evening, I chose to eat a bowl of ice cream, enjoying every spoonful. My mind tried making it a bad thing, and I just continued eating. The next morning, I was beginning my meditation practice and was aware this whole ice cream thing came to my conscious mind again. There were thoughts of how bad it was to eat all that ice, how it could do this and do that to my body. On it went. Now, in the past, I would have started to feel bad, but that day I chose to sit with it for a bit. In no time, I felt empowered, and these words arose from within me. So, I ate ice cream. What's that supposed to mean? I ate the ice cream, and what? Am I supposed to feel bad, guilty, whatever? I was blown away. Immediately, I became aware of some of the unsupportive programming I heard growing up. And what I experienced with those words helped me to see that we have attitudes or meanings associated with different things from our past. Things like the words we hear in regular conversations triggering some kind of memory or negative association for us. We put meanings to memories. Even positive things can have a troubling negative type meaning. For example, if the special person in our lives passed away on a day where the sky was a clear blue sky, and people kept referencing how beautiful the sky was, hearing those words while struggling with a loss could leave a negative impression in our mind. A clear blue sky comes to mean something more than just being a clear blue sky. Can you see how we create meanings? Along with attitudes and meanings, I started to observe there were also belief systems related to whatever was or wasn't happening that day. And going back to the ice cream example, I continually heard comments about how, well, we didn't need to eat desserts because we were fat enough. Hearing those words over and over, I began to associate eating desserts meant I would get fat. Up until the other day, I believed those words to be true. Now, on some level, they had surfaced for me to move past in order to find my truth about what I now wanted to believe about eating desserts. And this is only one example out of the many things I put meanings to. So let's go a little further. If we do this, if we don't do that, there'll be some kind of meaning attached to it. For example, if we don't sit with family at an event, we feel bad because we don't want them to think we're being stuck up. If we don't make supper for our spouse, we believe they'll think we're being lazy. We're doing stuff like that all the time and probably aren't even aware we're doing it. We assume others are thinking a certain way because of what we say or don't say, because of what we do or don't do. Can you relate to that? The interesting thing I want to point out, if we ever go back and check with those people, are they actually thinking what we think they're thinking? Give that a thought. Here's another example. We think we need to work for free, thinking others can't afford to pay us. Oh boy, if you're one of those thinkers, I invite you to revisit that concept more from the place of what it means to you. Now, if you have all the money you need and want and choose to work for free, great. But if you're not charging because of the different meanings you have related to charging money, that's the part I'm inviting you to revisit. What are you believing to be true about yourself and or others? I'd like to share my personal story, giving you an idea of where meanings come from. My mom was an amazing seamstress who believed she shouldn't charge people for the sewing work she did. Growing up, I often heard her tell people she wasn't going to accept money, that she would do it for free. Well, fast forward to when I started my business. I do relationship coaching and healing work as a profession. I found it difficult to charge people, and I'd catch myself offering discounts here and there, which started to bother me. Talk about conflict within myself. I had unrest around charging people, which meant I wasn't doing it for free like the way my mom did it. That meaning or assumption or even the belief I picked up along the way created struggle and conflict inside of me and my relationships. The conflict caused me to question things. It didn't make sense that I should work for free. Free wasn't paying the bills. I've moved through that, and it wasn't easy. The change has been very rewarding for me and my family. How do we know we have meanings attached to things? A sure sign, only a few people believe what we believe. The meaning we've attached doesn't apply for everyone. Or let me say that another way. When we express what something means to us, only a select number of people will agree. Others will question or challenge the meanings we put to things. And for me, I knew for a fact not everyone had a problem charging for their work. I just happened to be one of them. Now I'll bounce forward and talk a bit about the word mean. According to the dictionary, mean is defined as wanting or intending to express a particular idea or meaning, to mean no harm, offense, disrespect, to have in the mind as a purpose. Knowing that, here are a few sentences using the word. I was meaning to do that. They mean no harm. And here's another one. I don't know what you mean. Over the last couple of weeks as I was preparing for this show, I caught myself using the word often. So here are some of the ways we use it. Maybe you can relate to them. The first, say it like you mean it. A friend of mine was helping me to see a better version of myself. She got me to say these words. I'm the most important piece in my work. At first, I couldn't feel that inside and struggled to get those words out. Once I did, she replied, saying, now say it like you mean it. It made me think, how many times do we say things and we don't mean them because we don't feel that way inside? This can apply to acknowledging things about ourselves, like we're beautiful, kind, easy to be with, or embracing things, you know, to become a better version of ourselves, like accepting compliments or sentiments from others. It's kind of like the phrase, say what we mean and mean what we say. Moving on, the second one, I mean it. I was talking with my husband saying something I intended to do and ended the sentence by saying, and I mean it this time. Have you ever said that? We want to lose weight. We want to start a project. We want to exercise. And, well, you know, doesn't always happen like we intended. I've observed when we use the expression, I mean it this time, it's like we didn't really mean it the other times, and now we mean it, and now we're being serious. This happened to me with my children. I'd say, stop fighting or I'll get up and take that away. Well, they didn't stop. I'd say it again and they didn't stop. The third time out of my mouth, stop fighting or I'll take it away, and I mean it. When I reflected back on that, it made me giggle. I was saying those words hoping they'd stop fighting without me having to get up. I hoped my threats would create a change. Well, just like making statements about wanting to start a new project or start exercising, that didn't always happen. I did eventually have to get up and take action to bring about the change I wanted to experience. Using the words, I mean it, tends to surface when people aren't taking us seriously or when we're saying things and people don't seem to care. What I've observed is people can feel what we mean or what we intend to do. Believe it or not, our actions speak louder than our words. Does that mean we were or weren't serious? Maybe not. Sometimes we just have to say things and get to a place where we take ourselves seriously enough to take action. And then we mean it. The third use of the word, you're being mean. Well, along my journey, when I decided I was going to address an issue, I shut it down inside because I didn't want to be mean. Can you imagine? Just by addressing an issue, I felt I was being mean. Now, does that make sense? Of course not. And yet there I was believing I was being nice by not addressing issues. Where did that come from? Here's the background to that. "You're being mean," were the words I heard from my family. Whenever a conversation got to a point where conflict was surfacing, like addressing an issue of some kind, my mom shut it down, saying, "Just leave it alone. You don't have to be mean." And another big one for me, when playing cards, if we did things like advance our team towards the win, family members would say, "You don't have to be mean about it." If I was lucky in cards or masterfully playing the game, I was being mean. That word took on a whole new meaning for me, one that created struggle and conflict. There were times when that spilled over into my relationships with the family. Now, it's important to hear this. Even though my mom and family said those words, I was the one, knowingly or unknowingly, who bought into the idea of applying a meaning to that word. It wasn't about them needing to change. I was the one with the unrest inside. And I want you to hear that again. Whatever meaning I put to the word mean, that had to do with me and what I did. And regardless of the source of my unrest related to that, I was now responsible to heal and resolve the unrest I carried around with me. How did I know there was unrest? Because hearing those words while I played cards pushed a button inside of me, showing me that I wasn't at peace in that moment of playing. And when I wasn't at peace, I knew there was conflict of some kind. So for you, words that trigger something inside, creating struggle and conflict, they're an indication you've put some kind of meaning to whatever it is. And I invite you to put on your detective hat, more with the intention to find out what that could be for you. You see, when we're constantly questioned about our intentions, when we're constantly confronted with people challenging us about the things we do or say, life begins to feel like one challenge after another, one fight after another. I really want you to give that a thought. Let's say we're feeling a bit tired. Well, we're not our perky selves, and we stop by our parents' home to pick something up, and they see we look tired. They question us, saying, "What's the matter with you? Are you sick?" Well, we answer, "No, just didn't get enough sleep." They continue asking, "Are you trying to make us sick? What are you doing? Maybe you have the flu. Are you coming down with something? You should go to the doctors." Has that ever happened to you? If you heard things like that, how do you think you'd be feeling by the time you left their place? Over time, we begin to feel energetically drained. Why? Because the conversation starts to feel like a fight, where we feel the need to clarify what's happening, justify why we're doing what we're doing, or even defend our actions based on what we are or aren't doing. Yes, we're all living our lives putting meanings to things others are doing, and others are putting meanings to the things we're doing. Sometimes doing that causes some kind of reaction where we fight, justify, or defend, all because we learned that certain things mean something other than what they are. Doing things like that throughout the day, where we're confronted with challenging comments, literally drains our energy. After a while, depending on what it is or who we're interacting with, it won't feel like we can just be ourselves. We'll be focused on dodging some kind of meaning to what we are or aren't doing. We're doing it to others, and others are doing it to us. I'm also going to share this story. We were watching our grandchildren play sports, and when the game was over, some of the kids on the winning team looked over at the losing team and put up their pointer fingers showing that they were number one. One of the dads was not happy. He talked about how that was poor sportsmanship and was making it a bad thing. He had all kinds of meanings attached to what the winning team was or wasn't doing. It didn't look or sound pretty. I'd like to speak directly to that situation. Well, kind of more from the point of view of how we can learn and grow from an experience like that. Using their pointer fingers as the number one sign, question ourselves, is that supposed to mean something? It may be a universal sign, but where we go with it internally is what makes all the difference. Putting meanings to things is like bringing something to life that isn't living. The children could have very well intended to make jabs at the losing team. I don't know that. But if the losing team just walked away without feeding into that belief or meaning, it would have no impact or life. And I'm going to add here, if their actions weren't made to be bad, the kids on the losing team wouldn't even care what gestures the other team made. And yet, life is life and filled with meanings put to things. Meanings that over time cause unrest inside of us. So going back to card playing for me, we were just playing cards. I wasn't being mean. I was at a place where I put a meaning to that word that eventually brought up stuff for me. Stuff used to upset me, and I no longer wanted to be upset over something that I wasn't. It then became my responsibility to heal and resolve whatever was inside of me, and I did that. I no longer reacted like I did before. In my best-selling book, Relatefully, I talked about this situation. Let's say we learned we were being inconsiderate of others if we didn't wash our dishes after every meal. If we ever left dishes in the sink, we heard about how inconsiderate we were being. We grow up believing that's the way we need to be. And now as an adult, we still make every effort to wash our dishes after each meal. Well, life brings us people who help us identify those beliefs. Yep. We live with someone who just stacks their dishes in the sink and maybe washes them every third or fourth meal. We find we get irritated when we see dishes in the sink and judge that person for being inconsiderate. This is a perfect example of something we learned growing up, and now we put meanings to the actions of leaving dishes in the sink. Do you think that would create conflict in their relationship? Of course it would. Someone so innocently leaves the dishes in the sink and we're upset. Can you see the effects of this in our daily lives? This isn't about us not putting meanings to things. This is about us gaining awareness of when we're doing it and when we're seeing it in others. When we have awareness, only then do we get to make new choices as to what we do or don't do with what we've now become aware of. So let me ask again, how do we know meanings are put to things? We take something that's so innocently said or done, and turning the responses around, creating conflict of some kind. This applies to things we innocently do and others innocently do, and it's twisted because of meanings put to things creating all kinds of drama. Actions or inactions, whatever they are, mean something, and it becomes a process of clarifying, justifying, defending, and more. That's what drains our energy. To twist and turn responses and actions is like us going in the opposing direction from what was stated or done. Let's say we don't buy greeting cards for things like birthdays and anniversaries. That gets twisted and turned, making it a bad thing, and then we put the importance on needing to buy them. There's no good or bad, no right or wrong. There's only awareness. Being thin means something, being smart means something, having lots of money means something. It's everywhere. For us, the moment we become aware we're struggling or there's conflict of some kind, whether on our part or the part of another person, recognize it for what it is, for what they are. Temporary definitions we've assigned to people, things, and situations. They surface from inside based on our thoughts, feelings, and physical body sensations. They've served us in some way, and at some point in time, we'll be done with them. They no longer mean what they used to because they've changed and disappeared. But only when we get to a place where those meanings don't make sense anymore will we actually see them for what they are. Something that kept us from becoming a greater version of ourselves. Yes, when we put meanings to things, like opinions, they do change. Meanings leave us vulnerable, and it's in the meaning that someone can attack. Give that a thought today. I share these different topics, bringing to your conscious mind things we do that cause conflict in relationships of all kinds. You're invited to find your own truth in everything people say, including me. Revisit things that continually cause you to struggle, knowing the struggle is creating conflict of some kind. And whatever you're dealing with, just know you're not alone. Find your way to loving yourself through the process of living life. And remember, that's impacting your whole being. There's nothing more powerful than our own grace and awareness. In the show, I focused on talking about the meanings we put to things. Going forward, I'll be getting into the topic of deep hurts. You'll want to hear about that. Yes, next week's show is focused on that. If you want to learn more about topics like this one, check out my best-selling book, Relatefully. If you want to learn more about me and the work I do, go to my website, www.theuniqueapproach.com. I'm Sheila Unique, relationship coach and master energetic intuitive. I do private and group sessions focused on healing and relationships of all kinds. And as a trainer and speaker, I'm passionate about guiding people to build authentic relationships from the inside out. I wish you much wonderment and joy as you move forward mastering the inner conflict within your whole being.